Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the GM Shuffle.
New Orleans will stub their toe. New Orleans may not have fouled out from the Cleveland game by the time they come to Philadelphia. They might be like Frankie Carbone. Remember him in Goodfellas where he's in the meat locker all hooked up?
You're listening to the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. Here is Femi Abebefe.
Welcome to another edition of the GM Shuffle with Michael Lombardi, presented by DraftKings and VSiN. I'm your host, Femi Abebefe. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Our producer, Brian Ortega, filling in for our guy, Elliot Bowman. Elliot is back home enjoying the holidays, so we hope Elliot has a fun time with his family. But Brian Ortega, we appreciate him stepping in here for Elliot, making sure everything goes afloat here. As Michael, we've made it to week 16, a lot to get to. And the big news was out of Philadelphia earlier this week. I mean, we were texting back and forth about it. You called me saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead and make some phone calls, go to the bat phone here real quick. But Jalen Hurts is questionable and his status is uncertain this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys due to a right shoulder sprain.
You know, I think when you go back and watch the play, it was he landed on that hard concrete field in Chicago on his right shoulder. He still made a great throw to A.J. Brown, kind of which helped win the game. But I don't think it's as serious as, you know, I wrote about this in VSiN in 17 when they lost Wentz, who was having an MVP season. I mean, I think this is something that they're going to manage. I don't think he's going to play this week. I'm told he's not, and there's a chance he may not play against the Saints either. Even though the rhetoric coming out of Philly is he has a chance to play. Mm-hmm. Look, they have a really good backup quarterback, Femi. I mean, you know, the guy has started a lot of games in the league. You know, he's thrown 41 touchdown passes in the league. He's got 12 interceptions. I mean, he's won games for the Philadelphia. He's won games for Jacksonville. You know, so I think they're in pretty good shape. And I was shocked as you and I were texting how quick that line moved. Just because of the player, not a disrespect to Hurts, but I thought it was a little bit like, wait a minute, Minshew is playing, could play really well and change the Eagle offense.
Minshew has started 22 games in his career, 8-14 as a starter, 41 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So like you said, he's played a lot of football. He's a capable quarterback, and I think the most important thing is that he's surrounded by so many talented players and a pretty good coaching staff to where he should be able to keep this thing afloat here. If you were the general manager of the Eagles, if you were Howie Roseman, how do you go about handling this? Because the Eagles just need to win one game to win the NFC East, and I think if a couple things break right, they can also clinch the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Would you be comfortable resting Hurts all the way until the potential divisional round? Because you're talking about 5 weeks of Jalen Hurts not playing. That could be a really tricky situation going into a win-in-advance situation with the quarterback being a little rusty.
Well, but he's going to rest 3 weeks no matter what, right? Nobody's going to play against the Giants, okay? And then they have the bye week, and then they get ready to play. So he's going to get 3 weeks off anyway. So really what we're talking about is the Saint game. You know, I mean, if he's a little hurt, which he is, well, you can't play him this week. So the question is, does that one game against the Saints really make a difference if we've clinched everything? If we beat Dallas, does that matter? I mean, you're not playing against the Giants. I mean, you can mark that in the win column for the Giants. The Eagles will retreat, you know, like you've never seen an Army retreat before in that game. They'll put Kelce out there for the first play, and, man, they'll be out of there. He'll be back out, and nobody will play in that game. I mean, if they could find some guys to bring up to the roster, that's what they'll do. So they're going to want to keep their team healthy. I think if you're Philadelphia and Howie Roseman, the only thing that you're concerned about is health. I mean, look, they came out of the preseason and played well opening day in Detroit. They scored a lot of points. Their defense wasn't great, but I think they'll understand what they need, that rest is more important than the grind.
It's interesting that you bring up this Saints game here, because there could be some incentive for Philadelphia to beat the New Orleans Saints, because they do have the Saints' first-round draft pick. So maybe there's a little bit of incentive to, hey, let's win that
game and
improve our draft
But they could
status.
Beat the Saints with Minshew. That's my whole point of the conversation is they could beat the Saints with Minshew. I mean, you know, their defense is good. They're playing really good defense. They've got the key to the Eagles, and I've said this and I wrote this today in a column on Tuesday for the VSiN, is their strength is their offensive line. So they can shift and maneuver their offense. Remember, when they first got Hurts, they were not a six-back team. I mean, this has been an evolution of sorts, right? So they've kind of morphed themselves into this full six-back. It kind of changed last year. Remember, the Eagles were throwing the ball quite a bit. Yep. And then all of a sudden, after they lost a bunch of games, they decided, oh, let's go to the six-back attack. And that's where they've kind of taken off. And so they can go back to it. I mean, they can go back to it. I mean, there's no doubt Hurts has improved his throwing. It's all play action. I mean, he didn't play well last week against Chicago, made some mistakes with the football. But the reality of it is they can shift their dynamic of their team because of their versatility within that offense. That offensive line just isn't a run-blocking line. They can pass protect, too.
You know, it's funny, Michael, we're talking about this thing. I'm not sure if anybody has this piped in or whatever, but ESPN's Adam Schefter just tweeted moments ago that Nick Sirianni said he does not expect quarterback Jalen Hurts to play Saturday versus the Cowboys, so it will be Gardner Minshew against Dallas. And the betting market is starting to react to that news as the Eagles are back to six-point dogs.
Yeah, I mean, look, one thing we know, and you listen to this pod, the betting market tells you who's playing. They adjust it, right? They make the adjustment based on the quarterback. And when that line shot up to six, you knew Hurts wasn't playing. Now, there was buyback on it, not because they felt like, okay, there's a chance Hurts could play. No, they knew he wasn't going to play. And there was some buyback because I think six is too much. I don't think Dallas is – I don't think there's a significant change of offense. I think Minshew will play well against the Cowboys secondary that if you protect, you can throw the football on. I mean, they gave up 500 yards last week, right? Everybody's focused on Dak's interception, but nobody focuses on the defense not being able to get stops when they need it or stop the big play. And I think the Eagle offense is versatile enough to expand and change and get into a rhythm passing game that they can't really get into because of Hurts, because of his strength is the six-back offense. It's kind of an interesting way. Typically, you don't have a backup quarterback who's diametrically different than the starter. But because of the Eagles' ability and their offensive line, I think they can get away with it. And their divergent thought in terms of how they want to call. Remember, they wanted to throw the ball with Hurts originally, and then they went to this.
The next time we'll see Jalen Hurts, Michael, will be the playoffs, you think?
I think so. I mean, if they beat Dallas, why are you playing them against New Orleans? You make a great point about having New Orleans as pick, but you could beat New Orleans with Minshew. I mean, New Orleans will stub their toe. New Orleans may not have thawed out from the Cleveland game by the time they come to Philadelphia. They might be like Frankie Carbone. Remember him in Goodfellas where he's in the meat locker all hooked up? The Saints might be like Frankie Carbone. I mean, they're going to be like Frankie Park. There's cold, right, Femi? Then the Italian culture, there's cold, and then there's Frankie Carbone cold. That's what the Saints are going to be, Frankie Carbone cold.
One of many games in the Midwest that is going to be some frigid temperatures, and we hope everybody, all of our listeners and viewers from out in that area, stay warm, stay safe, because It sounds like it's some negative wind chills and it's a lot of gusts and all that stuff. So it's going to be cold temperatures. We'll get into those games a little bit later on in the podcast. So Minshew will be starting for Jalen Hurts on Saturday. We also have some other quarterback changes. The Indianapolis Colts announced earlier this week that Matt Ryan will go back to the bench. So the second time this season, Matt Ryan has been benched, but it's not going to be for Sam Ellinger. Nick Foles, former Super Bowl MVP quarterback Nick Foles, will start Monday night.
Got the statue here in Philadelphia.
Philly, man. He's a legend, for according to Eagles fans. He will be the starter Monday night against the Los Angeles Chargers when they host them. And right now over at DraftKings, that's a five-point line. We'll get more into that game on Monday's episode of the podcast. But just Foles going to the starting position here for the final few games. What do you make of this? Because we haven't seen him in a while, it feels like.
No, and you know, with Foles, you have to be an RPO guy. Remember, the interesting thing about this Foles move is when the Eagles went from Wentz to Foles, they lost a game, I think, to Oakland at the time. It was still the Oakland Raiders in Philly, or they won. It was a close. I forget, but Foles, they didn't play well, right? And they were trying to run their offense that they were running with Wentz. And eventually they went back to an RPO game, which is what Foles really runs the best, the RPO. Even though he's not a runner, he needs that RPO action, that fake. So the Colts have to go back to that. And look, I thought that Ryan did some things that typically a veteran quarterback can't. I mean, that fumble he had in Minnesota where he just threw the ball out there like it was a pass when it was clearly a fumble. He didn't have control of the ball. That might be one of the dumbest plays you're ever going to see. I mean, I feel bad for Matt Ryan. His career at the end is going just through the tubes. You know, he's got money guaranteed next year, so I'm sure he's going to want to play. He's not going to retire, but, you know, at some point he's going to have to realize that there's, you know, he's not good enough to play, or he's declined so bad he can't play. But I don't see any other reason. What I find fascinating, Femi, because of Nick Foles starting, is this Nick Foles will start. Minshew will start, and the great Trace McSorley from Penn State will start for the Cardinals. That will be the 59th different quarterback starting in the National Football League on Saturday and Sunday. Almost every team has gone to a backup quarterback. Think about that now. Some are on their third-string quarterbacks. And so why do you think that is?
Do you think it's because of the six-back attack that we've been talking about with the running quarterbacks, or what do you attribute to?
Well, I think there's a little bit of that, right? I think there's a little bit of that six-back attack that goes into it, but not all teams run the six-back attack. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is protections. Like, let's take Washington, for example. There they are on Sunday night. They got Thibodeau over there on their shitty left tackle, right? Do they help the left tackle? Of course not. So Thibodeau gets a strip sack, fumble, touchdown, right? Did they help the left tackle against Philadelphia? Of course not. They didn't help. So they want to get five out in the route. So he fumbles, you know, and they turn the ball over and the Eagles score. To me, it's a lack of really great protection. I think we got a lot of coaches that just draw pass plays up without the thought of, how do I protect the quarterback the best? I want to get five out all the time. I mean, LaFleur does it in every playoff game. I mean, 2 years ago when he played Tampa, couldn't wait to get five out, even though Rodgers was getting the shit kicked out of him. He can't wait to get five out in the route. Look, you got to get five out, but you also got to protect the quarterback. You got to be able to do different protections, and the quarterbacks are getting killed. So that's why we're seeing such a dramatic turnover in starting quarterbacks. They're getting hit. They're getting hit way too much. Line play is bad. Line play is bad because of the rules. Mm-hmm. Offensive linemen need to be in after the season. They can have February off, let's say, or January off and half of February. But once February comes around, they need to be inside an indoor facility working on their fundamentals, their techniques, getting stronger, building, getting footwork, doing all those things. That's how you develop linemen. It's hard to develop linemen when you don't have any time to develop them. I think that's a cause and effect of the new CBA rules. The other effect is this instance where Zach Taylor, he no matter who can't block, he's getting five out. He don't care. Burrow's just going to have to take the hit.
Good luck,
he
Joe.
He just got to take it. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because 59 different starting quarterbacks, and I think the league sees those numbers as well, and they look at it and say, hey, we got to protect our guys. But they more so look at it from the roughing the passer side of things and, like, doing that stuff versus, hey, maybe let these guys practice a little bit more, be a little bit more physical in training camp, because you got to build up that callus. You got to build things up to be able to protect once the actual games get here. But it's fascinating to see that we're just going to kind of drift more towards, all right, probably just two-hand touch on the quarterback, because we see that all these guys are getting hurt, and we don't want Christmas Day to be Baker Mayfield versus a banged-up Russell Wilson. We want Matthew Stafford to be playing on Christmas Day, yeah, not Baker Mayfield. Like, that's kind of the takeaway from the league's perspective.
Well, because they don't, because the people that make the rules don't understand the game. I mean, this whole notion that, you know, that some 300-pound man has to contort his body in midstream like it's a cartoon so he doesn't land on the quarterback. Like, how is that even possible? Like, how do you do that, right? I mean, they're trying to do it too. Like, they know they're trying. The coaches are coaching it. But how do you do it? How do you tell? How do you contort your body? Christ, I can't contort my body when Dominic's at the house for a time. I can't contort it to get into bed, let alone alleviate the quarterback. I mean, it's like unbelievable. They make these rules up that are not practical to the players, you know? And so they call these penalties, like these roughing penalties, which are ridiculous. It's not protecting a quarterback. We got 59 new starters. So, you know, it's like anything. You know, it's like that old story, right? So there's a great tale of this bank in Paramount, California. Mm-hmm. And it was the most robbed bank on the FBI's list. FBI keeps track of what banks get robbed. This bank in Paramount, California was robbed more than any bank in the country. It was always in the top 10, never dipped below 10. Some years it was 1, some years it was 4, some years it was 6. Okay, so naturally, the bank manager and the company, what do? They put plexiglass in. They have a security guard sitting at the thing. You know, they have cameras all over the place. Guess what? Still robbed. Why? Because where this bank sat, it was so close to the freeway systems in Los Angeles. Mm. So once you robbed the bank, you were on a freeway. You could, yeah, go any direction, yep, and good luck catching you on an LA freeway. So some young intern comes in one day and says to the bank manager, he says, "Hey, look, I don't know how we're going to stop the robberies, but I live near a police station, and they have a bunch of abandoned cars over there. You think if we ask them to put an abandoned car in front of the bank, it might help us?" The bank manager says, "Shit, we've been trying everything else. Let's try that." So they did. They put it in. No more robberies. The bank, nobody. Because the robbers saw that the car was there. They weren't going to go in. The car could chase them once they were leaving. Right?
Wow.
So they solved the problem through divergent thought. We don't solve the problem of the quarterback. Like, the reason they're getting hit is our offensive line sucks. And the reason we suck so bad in the offensive line is because we're not developing them. We're taking away practice time from them. So we can't develop them. We can't let these coaches go in a gym and work with their footwork. I'm not saying they need to have pads on, mm-hmm, but offensive linemen are like golfers. They got to go practice their swing, their fundamentals, their techniques every single day. They can't miss. And that's what's happened.
I think that's a really great story to tell, because it just goes to show you that you can put a Band-Aid on a problem, but it's not going to be the solution. You got to go in
there
and
do some surgery.
That's
the league office's whole answer to everything. Yeah. They don't understand how to solve the problem. Like, they have, yeah, these refs calling penalties, you know, and they think that, you know, it's like one time I said to Pereira, they called a holding penalty on one of our offensive linemen at the Raiders. We scored a touchdown against the Chiefs, going to win the game. Ruined our season, because if we win that game, we're going to win. You know, we kind of had some momentum. Called the holding penalty. Lamont Jordan went in the end zone and scored. I said, "Mike, how do you call holding when the defensive lineman is playing wrong arm technique?" He says, "What do you mean by wrong arm technique?" I said, "Jeez. Mike, he's giving himself up. He's, yeah, cashing one for one. You can't call holding on a cash for one for one. You can't." But they don't know that. They don't understand. Nobody's training them on what's the fundamentals of the technique. It's like all these holding calls on the outside screens now, you know? Like, it's ridiculous, and every game's different. They don't know that. They don't understand what's being taught, you know? And then when the play's completely away, they're calling holding on. The guy's never, yeah, going to make the tackle.
Yeah, that's the one that bugs me the most. It's 30 yards away from the play, and it's like, all right, let's bring it back for a hole. It's like, come on.
Yeah, Scott Novak can't. I mean, literally, Scott Novak thinks he's our Christmas gift. I mean, he thinks that we can't wait to watch him referee a game. He can't wait. He knows it. He loves it. Oh, look, America's going to watch me. God, I didn't even look this week. I always look to see where he's going, because I never want to give that game out as a recommendation.
I hope it's not Philly and Dallas.
I knew Carolina was in trouble last week. I knew when Carolina had him, I told Maddie, I said, "Maddie, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be a hard one."
Yeah, hopefully he's not on Eagles Cowboys coming up on Saturday.
Well, I'm going to find out here. I'll find out, yeah, at the break. When we go, yeah, to break, I will find out, yeah, where my man is. Because God knows he's giving out gifts on Christmas Day. There's no doubt. He's the true Santa. He can tilt the field.
Please do find that information out. We'll discuss it later.
Now, Sean Hockley,
yes,
he's no walk in the park either. Now, he can't wait to – Huh?
He ruined my Thanksgiving last year. He was on the Raiders-Cowboys game when he had, I think, 30 penalties combined between the two
teams. He can't wait. He wants to pick up where Daddy left off. Like, the apple don't far from the tree on that one now. I mean, yeah,
he's a superstar.
Seriously.
He's a superstar in his own right.
I'm going to call this.
Everyone
it's their crew. You know, it's to me, it's so bad.
The guy, he had me drowning in bourbon last Thanksgiving because of him.
There's nothing wrong with drowning in bourbon. I hope to drown in bourbon with my man Bill. I hope to. A little Sinatra Select. There's nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Some interesting news, though, that we got from just the NFL perspective earlier this morning. The NFL, Michael, announced a multi-year agreement with Google granting YouTube TV and YouTube Prime channels the rights to exclusively distribute NFL Sunday Ticket to consumers in the United States starting in the 2023 season, man. Over the offseason, we're going to have to switch all our packages over to YouTube TV. I'm not sure if you already have it, but it's great news for us over here at VSiN. We're already on YouTube TV, so more of the sports viewing people coming to consume us is great for the business.
I love it. I mean, I think it's great. You know, people are complaining the NFL had a chance to take less money, right? Apple was offering less money to reduce the cost. Okay, great. I mean, you know, I get that. Go tell the players that they took less money. Everybody blames the owners for taking less money, right? The players get this check too now. You know, go tell the NFL. The Players Association, we took less money. We thought you would like to be a little generous, so we decided not to take the money. Like they're all in it together. They're partners. Like, it isn't just the owners who are making money on this. The players are making money on this deal too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun there, and it's more accessible. You don't have to get the satellite dishes and all that stuff to get the NFL Sunday Ticket. It'll be more accessible. More people can see our game, get interested in the content, like our show, where we talk about the NFL year-round. So I think it's great news for all involved. Before we end this first segment here, though, Michael, some sad news to share along. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was earlier this week we found out that the Pro Football Hall of Fame running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Franco Harris, passed away at the age of 72. And just such unfortunate timing whenever somebody passes away. But everything being planned this weekend, the 50th year anniversary of the Immaculate Reception is coming up tomorrow on Friday. They were going to honor and retire his jersey at the Pittsburgh home game against the Raiders upcoming on Saturday night. Just very unfortunate. And a player that is so synonymous with one play, but he had a great career outside of that one individual moment that kind of stands above the rest.
Yeah, you know, and he was on Mad Dog Russo a half hour the day before. It's just, you know, at 72, it's just too young, and what great memories. I mean, being from here, you know, he's from Jersey here, and so he's very popular. Penn State hero, Jersey hero. At one time, I think he owned a bunch of Wendy's in the area. That was a big thing if you went to a Franco Harris Wendy's that he owned, so... Yeah, I mean, it's way too young, and, you know, he played at a time where, you know, the fullback was kind of important in football, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have that anymore. There were two-back offenses were in vogue, you know, and so now we don't have that, and so it's kind of a lost art, and it truly, everybody who's ever met him said he was a wonderful man, and I think that, you know, I it's just sad. To me, as Al Davis would often say when he learned about somebody from in his contemporary group, he'd say, "I have no more tears," and it's true.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I learned, because he played well before my time. He finished up his career in my old neck of the woods in Seattle with the Seahawks in 1984. But I've obviously seen NFL film stuff of those Steelers 70s teams, and his name obviously comes up whenever they document those teams. I think it's going to be really cool. The NFL Network, A Football Life, they're going to premiere the Franco Harris episode tomorrow night. That was always planned, so that's just kind of unfortunate that This big celebration was all planned. Yeah, very strange that it happened at this time with the timing of it. But I think a lot of the tributes that I read yesterday, a lot of people said that he was always a happy-go-lucky guy, always had a smile on his face. I listened to Terry Bradshaw on Good Morning Football yesterday morning. He was talking about it, and just a big loss in the football community, and just for his friends and family as a whole. Yes, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and all that who knew him well and stuff. But yeah, Franco Harris unfortunately passes away at the age of 72. We're going to take our first break here on the GM Shuffle. We'll be right back to talk some more here on the pod. Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, Michael, let's get to Thursday Night Football. Amazon Prime, a big game this evening. I'm not sure when the schedule makers put the whole schedule together, they knew that this would be an important game, but it is. Jacksonville going to the Meadowlands to face the New York Jets right now at our show sponsor DraftKings. The Jets, 2.5-point favorites. The total is down to 37. Now, it's not expected to be bone-chilling cold like it is in the Midwest. Maybe a little bit of rain in the forecast, but what do you make of this game here? Zach Wilson once again starting for Gangrene.
1 versus 2, you know, I think this is going to be a fascinating game because the one thing that, you know, Jacksonville's been able to win games, their defense hasn't played as well. Their defense didn't play well last week. They got a couple turnovers, one an unforced error by Dallas. The other one, CeeDee Lamb kind of had the ball come up. But I think to me, when you watch the Jets game against Detroit, if they can't run the ball, if they have to rely on Zach to make consistent plays, one after the other after the other, it's going to be challenging for them. Now, they get back Corey Davis, who I think they really need. Denzel Mims had a concussion. I doubt if he'll play. Mm-hmm. So they'll get that back. Now, Trayvon Walker, the first overall pick, he's probably not going to play in the game. And then Cam Robinson, the left tackle for Jacksonville, is not going to play, which really will benefit the Jets. I think the other key is can Quinton Williams play? I think that makes a big difference because Detroit actually ran the ball effectively against the Jets. So, look, this is a game I think the Jets have to pressure Lawrence, speed him up, make him play a little bit outside his comfort zone. And, you know, and then they've got to be able to tackle really well in space and not give up the big play like they did against. I mean, they held Detroit to 20 points, which is really a hell of a defensive effort.
Yeah.
They played great in the red zone against Detroit. Detroit's the number one red zone team in all of football. You know, so that was really good. I mean, I have the Jets should be the favorite in this game by slightly by two points. I like the Jets tonight. I think the under, it seems a little low, but I think both teams knowing that how, to me, the Jets have to play conservatively. Jacksonville rarely plays conservative. I mean, I keep saying they should run the ball more, but they keep putting the ball in Lawrence's hands 40 times. Now, they run a lot of bubbles and all that, so it'll be fun to watch these two quarterbacks. I mean, there's a huge difference between the first overall pick and the second overall pick in terms of their development from last year to this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting storyline for this game. I agree with you, though. The Jets, I believe, should be favored 2.5, I thought was the fair number in this game. It sounds like Quinnen Williams will be back tonight. The Jags, though, on that offensive line, you mentioned Cam Robinson. He's done for the rest of the season. I believe their right tackle, Juwan Taylor, he's also questionable. So you might be talking about a Jags offensive line that's down their 2 starting tackles. That could be very problematic against a pretty good New York Jets front there. And I think the Jets corners, too, can also kind of man up those Jags receivers. It's going to be a hard game for Jacksonville to score, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jacksonville has – they've got some skill players, and they'll find a way to make it – you know, make it work. I mean, whether it's Zay Jones, whether it's Christian Kirk, and really they use Evan Ingram like a receiver. He's not a tight end. I mean, he's a receiver. So, you know, I think that'll be interesting how that works out. And look, if they get White back, I mean, now Zonovan Knight is questionable with an ankle as well. So whether he goes, will they play James Robinson because they traded for him and they've been inactivating him the last couple of weeks. So they need to run the ball. They need to be able to run the ball on Jacksonville. They can't let Wilson throw this thing 30, 35 times. If he does, he's going to turn it over. I mean, he had a bad turnover last week, you know, which led to ultimately the game-winning points, which was the field goal. And then, you know, he tried to throw another one that kind of went up in the air, and the Jets end up catching it was kind of fortunate. So, but I like the Jets in this game. I'm not sold on Jacksonville defensively. I'm really not. I think if the Jets can't move the ball or run the ball on Jacksonville, they've got bigger problems.
If the Jets win this game, and let's say Zach Wilson plays similar to what he played like last Sunday against the Lions, do you think Zach Wilson is the starter going forward?
You know, I would say if they win this game and he doesn't do anything to screw it up, I think they have to keep him in the starting job. But if I am Joe Douglas, I don't know if I commit all the way to Zach Wilson. I think they'll have enough cap room. Mm-hmm. That I think you almost have to try to see if you could sign Mike White back, if that's who you want. But you're going to have to sign a really good backup to protect yourself. I think you're in protective mode if you're at the Jets. I don't think you're in he's our guy mode, right? I think you're in protective mode. So we got to make sure we got a really good backup. But it's not Flacco. You know, and if it's can we get White? It's a little bit like Taylor Heineke down in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought him back knowing they were going to go get a guy. Now, they came back to Heineke, which I don't think is going to be the long-term answer, but I think that's ultimately what you have to do. I think you have to go protect. You have to be in protective mode, because if you can fix this offense, mm-hmm. it starts with the line, but if you could fix Wilson, you got a defense that's ready to compete. I mean, you've won 7 games, albeit, you know, look, you know, the one win against Cleveland was kind of a miraculous comeback. The one win against Pittsburgh was a fourth-quarter win that Wilson helped deliver, so yeah. You know, the margin of error is so tight, so you've got to figure out a way to get this back. And if they get Hall back and they protect themselves at quarterback, they got a chance.
Do they maybe sign Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason? Because he has familiarity with that system.
I think Garoppolo's going to get paid on a level to where it's not an elite starter. It's not over $20 million. It's kind of going to be like, I think, where Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel mm-hmm. Jones is going to get paid like a – you know, so let's say somewhere between $18 and $22 million a year, let's say, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably the right number for him. Now, if he gets higher than that, you got to let somebody else have him because you're managing Daniel Jones. I think it's the same thing with Garoppolo. Can the Jets afford to put that much money into a backup knowing they still have Wilson? I don't think they can. I think they have to go down that, you know, that bargain line, that bargain basement shopper. They got to go to Feline's basement over there and see if they can get somebody. And it could be White, because White's not going to command that kind of – there's not enough information on White.
Yeah. They could be back to square one with Mike White and Zach Wilson, and maybe just let those guys compete in training camp if this thing goes off.
It's probably going to be the biggest decision that Douglas and Salah have to make this offseason. It's going to be – because if they don't protect themselves and Wilson's a disaster – and they're in this situation where they're playing guys that can't play a backup quarterback like Flacco, their season's going to go down the tubes no matter how good they are on defense. I mean, as good as San Francisco was on defense, when Garoppolo doesn't play for Kyle, look at his one-loss record.
And that decision starts tonight for this Jets organization as they host the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it's going to be a really fascinating game, one that I'm very much looking forward to watching. All right, Michael, let's take a break. On the other side, the Pro Bowl rosters are out.
Oh,
and there's an omission.
Tears.
There is an omission with the AFC quarterback.
You are in tears. Unlike Al Davis, you have plenty of tears.
There's a glaring omission with the AFC quarterbacks. We'll discuss it next here on the GM Shuffle. All right, Michael. Last night we saw the AFC and NFC Pro Bowl rosters revealed after all the fan voting, the player and coaches voting. We now know who the 2022 Pro Bowlers are. Now, remember, there's no more Pro Bowl football game. It's the Pro Bowl games. I think it's like a flag football competition. I don't know what the hell they're doing. But it's going to be here in Las Vegas coming up in late January.
I'm disappointed, you know. I mean, if it's in your guy didn't make it, I thought you two would get together for lunch and dinner there.
We were going to get a reservation at Carbone. We were going to get, you know, we're going to get all sorts of stuff going. But unfortunately, despite getting the fan voting, he was the number one vote getter for the fans, Tua Tagovailoa.
We have pictures of you stuffing that thing like I stuffed Tasty Cakes down my throat. Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
Despite getting that voting, I don't know if there's like a hanging Chad situation with the player and coaches ballots or what happened, but Tua did not make the Pro Bowl team. The AFC quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, the starting quarterback for the AFC. So we got to do a recount here. It's like 2000 all over again, Michael. What's going on here?
I know you did as much as you could do to put that thing in there. I know you did. You know, I know you did. I know you were concerned about that. You know, I know you wanted to make sure that he kind of got it in there, you know?
It's like a guy, he was playing well this season. He's playing like a Pro Bowler. He didn't make it. But what do you make, though, of the difference? And there's some other guys that we saw some discrepancies with, the fan voting and the player and coaches voting. The difference in the voting, because obviously the fans, and that's a little bit more subjective. Fans are going to vote for the guys who they want to see in there, their favorite players or whatever. And I'm sure there was a big push for Dolphins fans to get Tua into the Pro Bowl. But then once the players and coaches got involved, it heavily tipped the scale in the other direction. And it was the three guys that we think about when we talk about the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, like, for example, I think ultimately everybody's complaining McCaffrey didn't make it in there. You know, Miles Sanders is. Would you have put Sanders over McCaffrey? I mean, McCaffrey's kind of like a jack of all trades. You know, he does so many things, right? Like, I mean, if we were to pick for fantasy, you certainly are taking McCaffrey over Miles. But Sanders played, I mean, Sanders was really a huge part of their offense and their ability to run the ball, as Barkley was. So, you know, I don't really feel like, you know, when you look at some of the snubs, I didn't feel like that. I felt like, in fairness, I thought Jared Goff got snubbed. I think when you break, I don't think Kirk Cousins played as well this year numerically as he did last year. You know, now I know they won a lot of games, but I would say Cousins, I would say Goff was slight, to me, I have Goff ahead of Cousins this season. Like, I think I had Cousins in my red chip, as you know, we did that. But I think there's some moments where I don't think Cousins has played as well as he did last year, yards per attempt down the field. Now, they've done, I'm not saying he's not playing good. I just think Goff has played better over the last 8 weeks than Cousins has.
Yeah, I think that's really fascinating from the McCaffrey standpoint, that he was the leading vote getter for the fan vote for NFC running backs, but then the players and coaches did not put him in, similar to Tua in the AFC. So I don't know if it's...
Get that Tua snub in there. Yeah, you got to get that in there. I mean,
I was saying he was the leading vote getter of all players in the entire league for the Pro Bowl, but then didn't make it. But on the McCaffrey note, I wonder if it's... I don't know if it's necessarily out of sight, out of mind. He gets traded from Carolina to San Francisco. Maybe that factors into how the players and coaches thought about him. It's kind of a weird deal because he is probably one of the most versatile weapons in the NFL, and he's had a terrific season. When you look at the all-purpose yards, he's leading all of the guys who are the Pro Bowl running backs in the NFC, whether it's Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, or Tony Pollard. So it's kind of surprising that he got left off by the players and coaches, but maybe they thought he wasn't deserving, or at least wasn't more deserving than the other three guys who ended up making it. But I think from some quick fact notes, though, the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael, ended up having the most Pro Bowlers with 8. Yeah. And this goes back to what we talked about
all offseason. Always this is the case. It always is the case with the best team. The team that wins the most has the best has the most players, right? So you're going, you know, that's what's going to be the case. And I couldn't say that any of those guys that got voted in there didn't deserve it. And frankly, you know, when you look at the defensive tackle situation, I mean, Hassan Riddick got it at defensive end. I don't know if Za'Darius Smith from Minnesota played consistently enough as an outside rusher. I mean, they've lacked some rushing. But I think when you look at Tony Hargrave, what he's done for Philly's interior defense, to me, for him being snubbed, I think Dexter Lawrence has played really well. I mean, Donald, obviously, when he's healthy, he is. Jonathan Allen's a really good player. But to me, I felt like that was one of those where, you know, how do you leave Hargrave is one of the Eagles' best defensive players. To leave him off the list is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Donald made it, given that he's been injured the past few weeks. I mean, who knows? He's probably not going to play in whatever.
None of them are going to play. They're all going to go stand there and you know, going to hang around, and you and two are going to go to Carbone.
I'm sure they'll be playing maybe on the blackjack tables on the strip, but
they will.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be interested.
I think some guys get there on or like, I don't think Brian Burns, I think Brian Burns is a really good player, but I don't know if he's a true Pro Bowler based on the last, I mean, last week against Pittsburgh, he wasn't there.
Yeah, he was like, a ghost.
When you look at Carolina's third down defense and their ability sack per play, you know, when you look at those numbers, I'm going to give them to you right here. When you look at those numbers and you see Carolina, you know, they're 28th in third down, they're 26th in sack per play. Now, I mean, I know it's more than just one guy, but I think Burns is a really good player. I think he's a really good player. But I think he needs some help. I think the fact that there's nobody on the other side hurts him, and why those numbers are really kind of are not as good for Carolina.
there were two teams with seven Pro Bowlers, the Dallas Cowboys and the Kansas City Chiefs, two very popular teams once again. Ravens, 49ers had six Pro Bowlers. The Vikings had five players made it, but there were also two teams, Michael, with no Pro Bowl selections. That was the Jacksonville Jaguars and then the Chicago Bears. So the Fields campaign apparently did not didn't resonate.
The Ravens had two special teamers, the Devernay as a returner and Tucker as the kicker, which you can't argue with that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't argue with any of that as you look at it for, you know, and I think Roquan Smith certainly deserves it. I think there's no doubt about that. You know, so when you go through those guys, and I think, you know, I'm trying to think who else they had on their team because, you know, when you got six Pro Bowlers, you're like thinking, oh, they had the fullback. There's four. So they kind of – and then Andrews, I don't think you could argue with him as a Pro Bowler, right? I don't think you can argue with that one.
Has he been that great this year? I feel like he's dropped – I don't know if maybe their offense has just dropped off as a whole, but
yeah.
It feels like he hasn't had as great a year as he's had in the past.
No, I would agree with that. I think you could say that this – but a lot of that is their offense, which is, you know, I've been bitching about it for how long now?
It's bad.
So, you know, I mean, it's just bad. But he's still a good – I mean, he's a talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what other tight end in the AFC would you have put in over him? I mean, obviously, Kelce is the elite player of the group.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Ojobi got hurt in Cleveland, you know, so I think that's kind of a hard thing.
Yeah, it's I think for the most part, the fans, players, coaches collectively get it right. There's just a couple of guys that are in there that are maybe should be or maybe not be there. Who knows? I mean, I think typically I don't really care about
TJ. I didn't think TJ Watt was a Pro Bowler this year. I think he's playing hurt.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough games.
I mean, I don't think Derwin James is a Pro Bowler this year. You know, I mean, he's missed some time, but there's names that are just going to get on the list no matter what.
Yeah,
you
reputation.
Know, and. Reputation, you know, I think to me, and I'm sure the coach has kind of separated some of that, but I don't see that, like Trey Hendrickson, you know, he's hurt. I mean, one of the things Cincinnati hasn't been able to do this year is really generate the pass rush that they had a year ago.
Watt is definitely a reputation vote because, I mean, how many games did he miss this year? Like six?
Missed like six or seven, and I mean, yeah. Like, you know, and so like, how do you get him in there, you know, like. It is, but he's still a good player, but he's playing hurt. He's not the same player.
Yeah.
Neither is what that goes to your point about Mark Andrews. I don't think Andrews is having his best. How about Laremy Tunsil? You think that offensive line in Houston's having a great year?
I don't think they are. I don't think anything's having a great year in Houston. Although Jalen Petrie, their rookie safety, he's actually been a heck of a player. I've liked watching him in the games that I've seen.
Yeah, they have. I mean, he has to make a lot of tackles because the ball's coming to him. I mean, let's face it, he's the last line of defense at Houston, and that you got to have that line.
Yeah, there would be a lot of touchdowns on the board. All right, let's take our final break. We'll get to Saturday and Sunday slate on the other side. It's the GM Shuffle. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I mean, we have a plethora of games to bet on. You can bet on game-by-game, totals, sides, series props, conference finals, MVP, NBA finals, MVP, whatever you want. DraftKings has it. So all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SHUFFLE. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHUFFLE only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, Michael, it's going to be a fun holiday weekend here, man. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, we get a lot of games on Saturday, then we get three of them on Sunday. But let's start with Saturday, especially these cold weather games in the Midwest.
What are they calling it? They're calling it the snow. What is this
storm?
It's
like a thunder snow or whatever it's called.
Thunder cold or something, where it's coming across the country from Russia. Yeah. You know, when I was in Cleveland, I always would keep on, you know how you have different cities on your weather phone?
Mm-hmm.
I always kept Minsk on my weather phone because I wanted to compare living in Minsk to living in Cleveland just to compare it, you know, and it was kind of similar, actually. You know, so I felt like I was living in Minsk. You know, it's dark, it's cold. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be really, to me, this is really about, forget the cold.
Yep.
The wind is going to make, this is going to be, I said this to you, this is going to make every analytical person who hates punting, Will Hill, all of them, all these people that hate punting.
Shout out
and
to
going
Will
for
Hill.
It on fourth down. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be their finest hour. This is going to be their finest hour because, in all honesty, would you ever attempt an extra point in 60, 40-mile-an-hour wind? Of course you won't.
Hell no.
How about punting into a 40-mile-an-hour wind when the ball's going to – you're going to end up with no field position? Like, it's four downs are going to be in play, and two-point plays are going to be in play here. You better make sure you got a lot of fourth-down calls and a lot of two-point plays if you're getting ready to play these games.
Yeah, the temperature, it's supposed to be 11 degrees, real feel of below 21, but the wind that Michael is talking about in Cleveland in particular, 36-mile-per-hour wind, gusts up to 63 miles per hour, and it's going to be cloudy and a little bit of a snow shower during the game here. I think it's one of those games to where the total is so low in this Saints-Browns game. It's low at 32. I don't think we've seen an NFL game that low of a total all season long. The points are going to be valuable, even though I don't really love the Saints, but taking that +3, how often does this game land on 1 and 2, given the lack of extra points and the conventional scoring methods that we'll see?
Great point. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, look, you know, you can't predict this. I mean, you know, you can't assume that you're going to make a 35-yard field goal. You can't assume it. Like, it's every point, every first down, every chance you get. You get 7 points. I mean, let's say 32. So to me, when I don't play, I don't recommend unders or overs. I'm not good at that at all. Not that I'm saying I'm great at anything else, but I mean, like 32 is, what are we talking about? A 17-14 game. That's an under.
Yeah.
I mean, getting to, I think the first one to 17 in Cleveland wins, don't you?
100%. I don't think we see either team hit 20. Unless it's ripping off long runs. But
unless
then,
a fumble comes out and a guy just picks it up and runs with it, which can happen. I mean, it could happen. But the probability, I mean, holding on to that frozen Frankie Carbone football, I mean, this is going to be a hard, hard game. I mean, like I said, these are not cold games. These are Carbone cold games. I mean, and so we'll get that meat. Remember, he was hanging in there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to get that. I mean, they should probably have, you know, Frank, what the hell is his name, the guy that played the character? You know, they should have him do the coin toss in all these goddamn games because, you know, I mean, it's so cold. And I think you got to prepare your team and prepare your betting to this. You know, if I were the Saints, I would play Taysom Hill the whole game. I would run the veer. I would run the six back. I would run everything I would do would be run.
Yeah, I think that's what the situation is going to be. And also, Frank Severo.
I mean, these are going to be Army-Navy games, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Frank Severo played Frankie Carbone.
Frank Severo, yeah.
We got that unlocked. Yeah. Yeah, I think this, like, I mean, last week's game between Baltimore and Cleveland was 13-3, and it wasn't even this bad of temperature. So I think that this is going to be one of those.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to stay, 13, keep getting worse. Yeah.
Somewhere around there. The cold is also in Chicago, Michael, where the Buffalo Bills will be taking on the Bears. 12 degrees, real feel of 13 below, 20-mile-per-hour winds off of Lake Michigan, gusts up to 37 miles per hour there. So this will be some drifting snow. In fact, the weather's so bad that the Buffalo Bills are traveling today. They're not even waiting for Friday. They're going to travel today to Chicago to make sure that they can get there and have no complications.
Smart.
With the travel complications being a little bit tricky with this weather situation.
Yeah, I mean, and both teams will run the six-back attack. So, you know, both teams' quarterbacks are going to play. You know, and we saw last week, both teams were in the six-back attack. Now, you know, that offensive line for New Orleans, I mean, they put Leatherwood at right tackle. They had to bench him. They had to take him out of the game. It was so bad. I mean, Hassan Riddick made the Pro Bowl. You know, he ran by Leatherwood like it was – like they could have put a Coke machine over there. It would have been better. So, you know, Buffalo's going to – you know, they're going to have to play a different front than they did against the Bears against the the Dolphins because this is not going to be a passing game. But you need speed on the field to handle Fields because he's going to run it, you know, and you got to – both teams have to stop the run. Now, both quarterbacks can throw it, but even when the wind – when you're throwing into the wind and you're throwing with the wind, it's hard. If you're throwing into the wind, your defensive backs don't have to play as deep as they have to because the ball will hold up, right? You can make a play on the ball. And so, you know, and if you're throwing with the wind, it's hard to judge it. You overthrow it, that thing takes off. So you got to be really smart about, your players have to be really smart about judging the wind as the game goes along, and then adapt your defense and offense to the wind. It's tricky. I'm with you. I think the points are at a premium. If you're getting nine, I think this line's down to eight.
Yeah, it's
you're
down.
Getting that many points, I think you almost have to take it. It's hard to give away points in these cold games.
And I think that's what we're seeing from the betting market. Like, this is down to eight. It was nine, even a touch 9.5 at some point earlier this week. But with the total continuing to tip down, the points are also ticking down as well, just because it's going to be hard for any team to build some sort of a margin with the conditions being what they are. Big game for the New England Patriots this week. We'll see if they can bounce back, get off of the mat after the disaster here in Las Vegas a week ago. They're hosting the Cincinnati Bengals, who are red hot. Cincy right now at DraftKings, 3-point favorites, total 41.5. This one won't be as cold, but the wind will be a factor. 17-mile-per-hour wind with gusts up to 37 miles per hour out there in Foxborough.
I mean, what have the Bengals done to the bookmakers to cause them to get no respect? I mean, they get no respect out there. I mean,
they don't?
It's kind of remarkable. I thought this game should have been, they should have been favored by more, but the betting public's all over New England in this game. I mean, people are betting New England in this game. I mean, that line shift, that line was 3.5, almost 4, and now it's down to 3 in most places. And I think it could easily tick down. I mean, New England's getting a lot of play. I mean, they have 21% of the tickets in there and 53% of the money. So there's a lot of people playing New England, which, you know, look, it'll be a cold game, short field, low scoring, that kind of favors. Can they run the ball? You know, it favors New England. That's what they have to do. They got to run the ball, play good defense, adjust their defense to the weather, which they can do. You know, I could see it. To me, I don't think I on paper, yeah, it's easy to say Cincy should win. A lot of people are going to fall for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can do that because the weather's going to equalize some of this game.
It was one that I stared at long and hard when it was 3.5. I ended up not betting the game because I just couldn't do it. Because I've been fading Cincinnati the past couple weeks, and they've gotten the better of me. I've been playing them.
You and I are opposite. Yeah, your eyes are so much on Tua. Like, I don't know how you could fade Cincy. Like, they're good. Like, they're really good. Their numbers. I mean, they're in the top. They're in the top of my 19 categories. They're in the top 12 and 14 of them. I mean, they are significantly good. Right, and New England's in the top 12 of 8 of them. Now, New England has 5 liabilities in terms of my power rankings, whereas Cincinnati is only 1. I mean, Cincinnati's power numbers are good. It's hard not to like them. I mean, they play well. They're running the ball better. Their offensive line has improved. Their left tackle, Jonah Williams, if you watch him, he beats the snap count almost every single play. Like, I don't know how they call him. Oh my God, it's so bad. It's like Chris Jones is offsides every play.
Yeah.
Like, you watch the Chief tape, Chris Jones is literally almost offsides every play.
You know who the master at it is for the offensive tackles? Trent Williams. If you just watch Trent Williams, that he's flinching before every single snap.
It's unbelievable. Get away with it. Like, I think they're going to throw a flag here. They don't.
Nope, they don't. Trent Williams has been doing it for a long time. For the viewers and listeners, watch Commanders 49ers this Saturday and just watch Trent Williams for like 3 or 4 series and count how many times he legitimately false starts and how many times they actually call it. It'll be 0 that they call, and it'll be about 6 or 7 that he actually false starts. It's really remarkable stuff there. But no bet for me. I think Cincinnati wins the game, but I get where the sharp bettors are coming from getting those points there with New England, because the Patriots have one of the best home fields in the NFL, and it's a desperation kind of situation for them in this playoff.
Well, I think
race.
It's more desperate. They haven't played good at home, though, Fem, this year. They haven't. I mean, they haven't played good. They lose to Chicago at home, right?
Yeah.
They beat the Jets at home. You know, I mean, and so before they went on that road trip, they lost to somebody else at home. I mean, they haven't been a great home team. They lost to Buffalo at home. That's who they lost to. You know, so they lost to Baltimore at home this year. So, you know, I mean, that's too many losses at home for them. But, you know, their backs are up against the wall. So I think it's more of a Custer last stand game, really, for New England.
Yeah, could be the last stand for those guys out there in Foxborough. The Kansas City Chiefs, an old school AFC West rivalry. This was the AFC West that I grew up in, man. Seahawks.
Where's Dave Craig?
Taking on the Chiefs. Yeah, where's Dave Craig? Call John Kitna. The Chiefs are 10-point favorites over at DraftKings. Total sitting at 49. This will be 12 degrees. Real feel.
This line went up.
It did go up, which is surprising given the temperatures of this game and kind of how this game is probably going to have to be played. They say the wind is 14 miles per hour, gusts up to 30 miles per hour out there at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, I mean, look, I watched that Houston. I watched the Houston-Kansas City game, and the fact that game went to overtime was startling. I mean, a lot of it had to do with personal, you know, they had a lot of penalties called that got them first downs, the Houston offense. If they don't have those, it's a challenge. Some of them were justifiable. I'm not suggesting that. But it wasn't. I mean, they moved the ball. I mean, this whole thing about Mahomes, and we'll talk about next week, Mahomes played really well in that game. I mean, he's moving, throwing to different receivers. The offense is in rhythm. They've turned the ball over too much in terms of fumbles, but I don't see how Seattle keeps it close. I really don't. And I think the Chiefs will move the ball effectively, even in the win. Now, the one thing I will say, if you like Seattle, the kind of game that gives the Chiefs defense a lot of trouble is when you're really good on the outside. I don't know if Tyler Lockett's going to play.
He's not playing. He's out.
With Metcalf and the receivers, you know, that they have, especially Godwin, who's fast as hell, these Chief corners get taxed. And if you can win a one-on-one and you can throw the ball outside like the Chargers typically do or the Raiders do, you got a chance to move the ball on them and keep this game close.
Yeah, I think the back door is going to be open in this game. It could be a 17-point game or a 14-point game late, and then Geno Smith just comes right through the back door, similar to what Fields did to the Eagles, and that's maybe how Seattle covers this spread here. If Kenneth Walker were healthy, I could see maybe Seattle sticking into this game, using that ground game, because I think the Chiefs are still a little susceptible to the run. But his situation with his ankle, it sounds like he's 50-50 at best, according to Pete Carroll. I wouldn't get involved with this one here. I get why Kansas City is a 10-point favorite, and that's just a pass, and I'll go ahead and watch that game and see if my man Tariq Woolen can get another interception. The Raiders, I hope he does. The Raiders will be in the Steel City. We talked about it, the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception will be an emotional night out there at Heinz Field. They're hosting the Raiders. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 8 degrees, real feel 14 below, 16-mile-per-hour winds, gusts up to 32 miles per hour. But the Raiders are getting bet here, Michael. Right now, the Steelers, 2.5-point favorites, total 38.5.
Yeah, and we get Kenny Pickett back in under center. Look, I thought the Steelers were great last week. I thought they dominated the line of scrimmage. Their offensive line played as well as I've seen it play. Trubisky had wide-open receivers. I'm surprised that people aren't betting Pittsburgh more, especially at home. I mean, it's going to be hard for the Raiders to run the ball against them because it was hard for the Panthers to run the ball. I mean, the Raiders are going to have to play their best. And, you know, Pittsburgh ran the ball effectively against Carolina. I mean, Carolina has a reputation for being great defensively. Mm-hmm. I think they need a couple more players to become an upper echelon. They give up too many plays at times against some teams that you think. Like, they play Tampa great off defensively, but then they didn't play Pittsburgh great, you know? So I think this will be a challenge for the Raiders. I really do, because I think Pittsburgh's playing better. And as Pickett doesn't turn the ball over, you know, they kind of know who they are offensively now.
I took the 3 with the Raiders. I think this is going to be a pretty even game. The Raiders, they get a lot of credit in the betting market, and that's something that I kind of have to factor into my numbers.
Well, they keep games close. Every game's close with the Raiders. I mean, you know, like, even when they lose, you know, like, that's why when they were a 6-point favorite against the Rams, I mean, every game's close with the Raiders, really, other than New Orleans games. When have they been in the game?
It always goes down to the wire, so I figured I'd go ahead and grab that field goal. Hopefully the ball bounces my way. You mentioned the Panthers. They're hosting the Lions. Carolina, 2.5-point dogs, total 44.5. How do you see this shaking out?
Well, the weather's going to be cold and windy there, too. But then I look, Sean Hockley's doing the game. And maybe I'll tell Matthew to stay home for Christmas. I mean, this is horrible. Okay, I mean, I'm going to watch Sean Hockley call 20 penalties in the game. It's going to be brutal. I mean, you know, it's going to be just brutal. But, I mean, look, Detroit, we're going to find out how good, if I'm right about Carolina or I'm wrong. Detroit blocked really well last week. The Jets struggled to get pressure on Goff, and Goff was good. They only scored 20 because the Jets were so good in the red zone. That's where the Jets kept themselves in the game. They got a benefit of a call and a holding call that I'm not sure was one, but they called it. So whatever it is, right? And the Lions, which were the number one team in red zone offense, were 0-for-3 in the red zone. You add those 4 points, you add those 12 points to the score, all of a sudden it's a blowout. But that's where the Jets kept themselves in the game. That's where Carolina's going to have to keep themselves in the game. They can't score at this level. Now, they'll move the ball on Detroit. I think they got to let Darnold play a little bit. They got to stop being so protective, and they've got to run the ball. Detroit has played a lot of nickel. Since their bye week, they've kind of given up they've tried to get faster on defense. They've played nickel, and they've played the run much better. Carolina's got to take advantage of that.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago my Dan Campbell Coach of the Year bet that I placed, and I need the Lions to run the table, but I'm a little nervous about this game. I just got a weird feeling that they cleared the hurdle of the Vikings, they beat the Jets, and now there's this weird game going to Carolina.
They've been great on the road.
This is just kind of a weird deal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard. I mean, they can't, you know, it's Carolina's still in it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Carolina is still in it. I mean, so, you know, how many Decembers in your lifetime have you seen Detroit at 500? Not many.
Not many. Like about,
you know,
three, I think. Yeah. It's not many. The New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings, maybe a playoff preview of Minnesota 4.5-point favorites over at DraftKings, total 48.5. This is one, man, Kevin O'Connell, we'll see if he pulls it off again.
The two luckiest teams in football. I mean, these are the two luckiest teams in football.
We'll see if they pull it off.
I don't know what to play. I just know this. The game's going to be close, so I would say take the points here. It's all going to be close. I think that Daniel Jones will be able to make plays against them, and I think it's going to come down to who plays their best red zone. So why not grab the points?
Yeah, I think both offenses are going to be able to move the football. It's indoors, so it'll be nice conditions. One of the few games that has nice conditions out there. Texans and the Titans, this is the big game for Tennessee. They've been reeling quite a bit. They've lost four straight, once had a stranglehold of that AFC South. Now it looks like it's slipping away. Ryan Tannehill, reportedly, Michael, will be out for the rest of the season. So it's going to be Malik Willis going the rest of the way here. Titans 3-point favorites, total 35.5.
I mean, look, again, we're down to Malik Willis. I mean, this is a hard game. The last time they went down, Malik Willis was the starter. They were a 3.5-point favorite on the road. And, you know, you had to think, okay, they won 17-10, but they score that touchdown at the end of the game to make it closer than it really was. They won the game with they ran for 315 yards against Houston when they knew they had to run the ball, right? Mm-hmm. So, for me, you know, this same situation. I mean, this Tennessee team, how are they going to get it? I hope that I kind of hope for our sakes as fans – not for Tennessee fans, but because I like Vrabel and I like their organization.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if they get into playoffs, we can't watch Willis. I mean, this is going to be horrible. He can't throw the ball. He threw the ball 10 times against Houston the last time they played.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to – I mean, if they make the playoffs, they're one and done. You can write it down. There's no way. And so, like, if Jacksonville wins the South, which they could mm-hmm. if they win tonight. You know, so –
yeah,
I don't see it. I mean, Tennessee does a remarkable job. Houston just doesn't do anything very well, but this is a game Houston can win.
It's interesting because I almost think that the fact that this is a game that Houston can win, does that maybe make them tense up? Because the last couple of weeks they've been, 17-point underdogs to Dallas and 14-point dogs to Kansas City. Nobody expects much. Now it's a 3-point spread. The expectation is that they will be competitive in this game. How do they handle that?
Are you betting it? I'm not betting Houston. I don't trust them at all.
I'm not betting either team
in this game.
Yeah,
kidding me?
Nope, I'm not betting that game. That's when I'll just sit back and watch. That I'd have no read. Willis, maybe they get the run game going with Henry and all that, but I don't have a read on that game. The Falcons and the Ravens, right now Baltimore 7.5-point favorites, total 35.5, another cold weather game. It'll be Desmond Ritter's second start. Lamar Jackson, I don't believe, is going to start
this
game.
He's not playing.
The reports were that he was going to come back Christmas Eve. He hasn't practiced all week here. It looks like it'll be Tyler Huntley. Huntley's also
injured.
He's
not healthy.
Yeah.
Huntley's not healthy. We might get A.J. Brown or Anthony Brown.
Yeah.
So, look, they've won nine games. They're home games that they've won, right? The Bengals, it was a 2-point game. The Browns was a 3-point game. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Saints by 14, beat Carolina by 10, beat Denver by 1, lost to Pittsburgh by 2. They play close games. Some of those are road games. They play Atlanta, for whatever you think of Atlanta, Atlanta stays in there. They run the ball on everybody. Yep. I think 7.5 is a lot of points here. I really do.
Same here. I took the 7.5 with the Falcons. I don't expect Lamar to be out there. And Huntley, if he's out there, he's compromised with a right shoulder injury. So it's not a good situation
for an already bad offense. Coming off a concussion, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bad offense, and now they have hurt quarterbacks. I would never lay the points. I wouldn't even tease it. I'm just taking the Falcons plus 7.5. Commanders and the 49ers, San Francisco laying 7, extended rest after clinching the division against the Seattle Seahawks last Thursday night, total 37.5. It's going to be a tough game for our guy Taylor Heinicke going up against that defense, man.
I think bad lines don't travel, and I think it's going to be hard. Unless they stay in protection, it's hard to run the ball in San Francisco. The game becomes one-dimensional. You know, and let's face it, this Washington team doesn't score a lot of points. I mean, I think if San Francisco gets to 21, they win. You know, because I think this line for Washington, every time they play against a good front, whether it's Philly or someone else, they have trouble.
Finally, we get to the game that I will be glued to, Michael. America's gonna, it's nationally televised. It's going to be the late afternoon game out in Jerry World. The Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys' last stand to maybe steal the NFC East, which seems very, very unlikely after last week. But Dallas is a six-point favorite. Total 46.5. We talked about it earlier in the podcast. It'll be Gardner Minshew starting for the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you see this game playing out?
I think it's an overreaction. I think six is too much. I think Philly's still a good team, even with Minshew. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be different, but they're still a good team. And I think they'll play high. I think that the hard part for Dallas is, are they going to be up to the level that they need to be up for, or are they going to be, okay, we're getting the backup? I mean, they got to be aware that this is it. So, look, I think Dallas can throw the ball. I think that's how you got to beat Philly. You got to have a good passing game. You got to protect the football. And you got to get Minshew to make a mistake. The last few weeks, Hurts made mistakes last week. They had every chance to lose that game, but they overcame it because of the fumbles, because of Hurts just throwing two interceptions. So, you know, you've got to do a good job of pass protecting. This Eagle front's really getting after it, especially inside. So I think it's a field goal game. I think six is way too much.
Yeah, I think it's a field goal game as well. And I think the Eagles' defense, we're going to see them stand up to the task in this game, and they'll give Dallas some issues. But I also think that the Eagles and where they're going to lose this game will be in the red zone. I think they're going to really miss Jalen Hurts in the red zone with that ground game, what they're able to do. Minshew, in the tight windows, I think he'll struggle. Like, he'll be able to move the ball 20-20, but in those tight windows, I think Minshew will struggle
a little bit. Yeah, I think you might be right there. I think at some point, you know, you got to be able – the foot movement and making the defense displace is always a challenge in the red zone. Yeah, that always certainly benefits you.
So, yeah, I think Cowboys by field goal, which means I'm probably going to bet the Philadelphia Eagles. And God have mercy on my soul. All right, that does it for us this week on the podcast. We hope everybody has a happy and healthy holidays. Christmas Eve is coming up. Christmas on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay healthy. Stay happy. Enjoy the football. Michael, I know you'll be enjoying the football.
Happy holidays. We appreciate everybody. Yes. I mean, what a great Christmas gift this has been to work with you and have so many great fans talk to us. And certainly we appreciate all the people that listen. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, try not to drown in the bourbon this weekend. We're going to try not to. But we're going to have ourselves a lot of fun. Thank you to our producer, Brian Ortega, who was filling in for our guy, Elliot Bowman, who's joining the holidays back in Indianapolis with his family. Thank you to all of our listeners and viewers. Thank you to DraftKings. Thank you to VSiN. As always, make sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you guys the day after Christmas. So happy holidays once again. Be well, and we'll talk to you on Monday.